My name is Catherine Newman, and my new novel is called Sandwich.
In her latest novel, Sandwich, Catherine Newman uses wit and humor to explore a single week at Cape Cod with three generations of family vacationing at the summer cottage they have rented for more than 20 years. The main character, Rocky, fights mood swings and menopause as she feels the pressure of being sandwiched between her adult children and aging parents. Sandwich is not just a vacation read, it's also a book about secrets and privacy and lots of food. From KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network, this is Marginalia. I'm Beth Golay, and here's my conversation with Catherine Newman. So can you give our listeners a description of Sandwich? You mean maybe set it up for us?
Yeah. I'm guessing you don't want the one sentence description about how it's a book about reproductive mayhem. I will set it up a little more thickly. Sandwich is a book narrated by Rocky, who's a woman in her mid-50s. And she's on vacation on Cape Cod with her young adult children. They're in their early 20s and her aging parents who are in their late 80s. And they're doing a week on the Cape. Anyone who's done a week on the Cape will recognize the Saturday to Saturday structure of that week. And the book takes place over the course of that week. So on the one hand, kind of a beach vacation. And on the other hand, a woman in middle age reflecting on all of the many years she's been doing this trip with her family as it changes.
So Rocky, whose real name is Rachel, but everybody calls her Rocky, one of her vacation duties is to make each family member a sandwich to take to the beach, and each is customized to the person's liking. But she also alludes to the sandwich generation, except she likens it to a seesaw. And this is a quote, "Standing dead center, still and balanced, living kids on one side, living parents on the other." Can you talk to me about the title, Sandwich?
Yeah. Thank you for that, for reading that part. Sandwich was the working title of the book, and often you sort of present it with the working title, but nobody likes it. And Sandwich was a funny one because people weren't sure about it. It didn't seem like Googleable, you know, where you would Google sandwich and it's just like Subway ads and whatever. But I really liked it for the literalness of the sandwiches that Rocky is kind of obsessed with making. And then the sandwich generation, the vibe of being kind of in the middle of you know, the generation above and the generation below. And there's also a town on Cape Cod called Sandwich, which had a nice extra kind of resonance for me. So yeah, that is why the name is Sandwich. And we almost didn't call it that. And then I sort of made a case for it really nervously, but here it is.
So Rocky is going through a period of transition. You know, I'm 56 and I could completely relate. But for readers who might not understand the change, talk to us about what Rocky is facing in her life and in her body.
Yeah. So I am 55 and a half. So I also relate, not coincidentally, to this change in Rocky. So she is menopausal, and I just said to somebody else that I feel like menopause is a character in the book. Like it's its own whole thing. And I did want to write a book with menopause in it. It's not a book strictly about menopause, but so much of what happens in the book happens because of this life moment that Rocky is like sweating and impatient and over it, and also liberated and overjoyed and loving this part of her life. There's a lot of things going on for her, and it's not really reducible to one thing, which is has very much been my experience that for all of the ways that menopause is a total nightmare, mostly for the people you live with, it is also really a liberating life moment. So Rocky's very, she just doesn't really care anymore what people think. And I was hoping to write a book about that.
You mentioned that, you know, Rocky just didn't care about some things anymore. And there are moments in the book, like when Rocky says some things out loud and doesn't realize it until someone who hears it, you know, comments on it. Or there were instances where Rocky, you know, drunkenly tells things at holiday gatherings and parties. Things like this, and, you know, also witnessing Rocky's relationship with her family members, they just felt lived. Were they inspired by personal experience?
They were. Yes, they totally are. I have really been taking, I am somebody who thinks, like, if you get a funny story out of something, it will have been worth living through. So I have been taking notes about menopause for years and years in the hopes that I would write something about it. So I did have tons of stuff written down that had to do with all those things you just mentioned, blurting stuff out and having kind of weird boundaries and being kind of overheated and overconnected to everybody. I was hoping to write about that.
So Sandwich takes place over the course of a week, like you mentioned, at the summer cottage at Cape Cod. But it also takes place through memory and conversation, and we really get to view more of a life. Why is this time frame and setting best for telling Rocky's story?
Yeah. So I had different ideas. I really appreciate the question because I wasn't sure I was going to write it this way. I thought about writing it in the one day style of like July 11th every year for 20 years, that kind of thing, because I knew I wanted to show all the layers of like every year you are on your vacation, but you're also thinking about the year before when your kids were younger and remembering how that year you were thinking about the year before. It's such a like matryoshka doll. But I thought that a vacation week would pare everything down so that the sort of central tensions in the book could come into relief because nobody's working. You know, the kids are sort of artificially separated from their friends on vacation. Like I felt, besides that I wanted to write like a love story about Cape Cod, I also felt like a week gives everyone this kind of almost blank canvas backdrop.
There are several instances in the book, with each generation of the characters actually, where secrets are kept and when revealed, the right to privacy is questioned. Can you talk to me about privacy versus secrets?
I love that. It's really funny that you asked that. I truly have been thinking about that because I feel like sometimes I'm really curious about whether privacy is code for shame. Like, I feel like people should get to keep things private, obviously. I mean, we live in a world where it's very dangerous to imagine that people don't have a right to a private life. But I also sometimes think that some of the obligation to be private about certain things has to do with an obligation to feel shame about those things. And I'm thinking especially, I mean, without any spoilers, but there is a kind of recurring, like, reproductive thread in the book. And I often think that women's experiences with like obstetric and gynecological and reproductive health, I think there's so much shame around it. And so some of that privacy to me feels like code for shame. So I'm not like a big person who's into like, oh, you shouldn't tell anyone you're pregnant in case you lose it. You know, that kind of thing. I'm always like, why wouldn't you want people to support you if you lost that pregnancy? Why should there be this weird secrecy about it? So in the book, there is shame and secrecy and almost like some potentially inadvertent secrecy. And I was trying to explore that question of, you know, to what extent do people get to keep their things private and what are your obligations for sharing stuff? I really don't know. I wrote an etiquette column for 10 years for Real Simple magazine, and that question came up a lot about sort of privacy and secrecy. And it's an open question for me. I'm not really sure.
So Rocky has a tremendous love for her children, and she has, you know, there's also an overlapping fear of losing them. And there's a paragraph on page 220 that I'm hoping you can read, and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
Okay. Have you pictured Daedalus watching from his own great height as the wings of his son started to come loose, pulled away by heat and gravity? Have you seen in churches and museums the enormous body of Jesus draped across his mother's lap? I know you know about Sandy Hook, about police violence, war, illness, genocide, famine, terror. There are so many ways to lose our children, and I have imagined most of them, imagined the near ecstasy of it, the violin sawing out grief's unfathomable song.
Yeah, I marked that entire paragraph. I don't even have a question about it, but talk to me, talk to me about this paragraph.
So I have written about this sort of for my entire career of writing about having kids. The way that falling in love with my babies became just twinned with this incredible fear of losing them. And I think that's true for a lot of parents and a lot of people who fall in love at all. So I think part of what this book is for me is that, you know, I personally, and I think this is true for the character Rocky, like if you were going to ask me if I'm a glass half full or glass half empty person, what I am is a glass all the way full person, but it's like balanced somewhere really precarious. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so, it's all the way full, but I am so afraid of spilling it. And so I am just walking around with it, like, you know, spending a lot of my energy making sure it's like balanced correctly. And of course, you don't preempt loss that way. Rocky is trying to deal with the fact that her magical thinking actually doesn't keep people safe.
So you mentioned Real Simple. You've written countless columns and articles, a middle grade novel, life skills books for kids, but your adult novel writing is somewhat recent. Can you talk to me about your journey as a writer?
Yeah, I know, it's so weird. I always hoped I would write a novel for adults, and I wasn't sure that I would. I really started writing as a graduate student. I was in a PhD program, and I started writing for money because we were so broke and we lived in the Bay Area, and it was really hard to make a go of it. And realizing that someone would pay me for my writing was like, you know, a real game changer. And so I became very, promiscuous as a paid writer. I would write pretty much anything for anybody who was willing to pay me. And I did that for years. I mean, I do it still, to be perfectly honest. But and so I wrote, I just stumbled from thing to thing because somebody offered me, Baby Center offered me $50 a week to write this 800 word column. That was before the word blog existed. But then I wrote that for long enough that it turned into a book. And then, you know, your editor from somewhere goes somewhere else. And then before you know it, you have like a bunch of contacts and good, fun places to write. So anyway, long story short, I really didn't know that I would write a novel, but I hoped that I would. And the reason I wrote my other book, We All Want Impossible Things, the reason I wrote that as a novel instead of memoir is that I felt about fiction that you can tell the truth more directly in fiction because there's a veil that protects the people you're talking about. You know, there's the premise of it not being a true story, and it allows you this almost absolute truth-telling ability. And I felt that with Sandwich as well, that although stuff hews pretty close to my life, the fact that it's a novel means I can tell the truth.
What do you hope readers will take away from this book?
I'm laughing because, I mean, it's already getting some really sketchy Goodreads reviews, but I love to make people laugh, even though I realize I haven't made it sound like a very funny book. It is my like very serious goal is to make people laugh. So that, and then I love the idea that somebody would read it and feel less alone. I mean, that is, I feel like all people who make art hope for that, that you would just be like a little light in someone's dark place or a little bit of company. And then there's like a, not so secret like feminist agenda that I am hammering away at, but we don't even have to talk about that.
One thing I will take away from the book are the definitions for schlemiel and schlemazel. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Well, the book is Sandwich. Thank you so much, Catherine Newman, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Catherine Newman, author of the book Sandwich, which was published by Harper. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita and is part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editors are Luann Stevens and Haley Krausen. Our producers are Haley Krausen and Katie Lanning, and our marketing coordinator is Carly Cooper. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.